You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Something's coming.
Stand by. Hold on to your hats, here we go.
Welcome to the Screamcast, episode 137. I am Sean DeRager, and I'm pouring myself a glass of whiskey. With me is
Scott
Henderson.
I don't hear the whiskey pouring. Wait. Yeah, there it is.
This is Suntory Whiskey Toki, a Japanese whiskey, and it's awesome.
Welcome.
Did you have to say it with like a bad Asian accent?
I was just, sorry. I don't know.
You're an accidental racist.
You really are. You're like diet racist. Like you mean well, but like you're the is Pepsi okay when you ask for Coke racist?
Yeah. You know what? There's a comedian, his name's Dat Fan. Have you guys heard of him?
I love Dat Fan.
He's fantastic. I met him a while back. He came through our area, and there's a guy in line right in front of me, and Dat Fan does this bit when he basically makes fun of his mom, and he does a stereotypical I think he's from Thailand, so Thai accent, I don't know. Anyway, so he would do that during the show, and this guy in front of me went right up to him and was like doing that whole bit to Dat Fan, this old white guy. I felt so bad.
Oh boy.
And apparently I just did that, so I apologize.
Yeah,
the whole goal is never to be that
accidentally.
Guy. Accidentally. Well, if you're
like
speaking
said,
Japanese,
you're
it's
racist.
Like, yeah. All right. Apologies to anybody I offended. I suck.
No one's offended.
No, I'm just like giving you shit and making you uncomfortable. It's easy.
Yeah, believe me. It's easy to do. Because I mean well. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason for this episode here is titled Hiatus Explainus. We have been on a slight hiatus, some of it intentional, some of it not intentional. I know Brad had a vacation, and then I had a little vacation. Before my little vacation, we tried to record episode 137, which was a Vinegar Syndrome-focused podcast. Unfortunately, we had some technical difficulties with our recording setup. So we had to, you know, we had to stop that, and then I went on vacation.
Yes.
I'm here. I'm back for 2 days. I'm going on another vacation. I know.
Oh, that's nice.
With the family. So we just right now tried to record the like actual episode 137, and that got fucked up. So we figured we would just at least get something out to everyone. This is BJ's idea, by the way.
Yes.
This was, and I didn't get an introduction. I'm BJ Colangelo.
Oh, fuck.
See?
Oh,
shit.
I was discombobulated.
Racist.
Discombobulated.
What did you say first?
I said discombobulated.
Oh, wow. My Lanta.
Dear God Almighty, this is just starting off on all the wrong in all the wrong ways.
It's actually the right ways, because if it was normal, it wouldn't be us.
True facts.
So BJ, welcome back, because you have
the
microphone.
I've been shooting the movie, man.
You've been shooting the movie. You have the microphone. You sound sexy as hell.
I try. Thank you.
So anyway, So, basically, hiatus, explain us. We need to explain.
Maybe
explain
let
the
BJ
hiatus.
Do it.
I can't.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn this over to you, Brad, but we did have kind of a coinciding of the minds. We, not, you know, unintentionally, we both kind of have been on the same wavelength in regards to, you know, opening our shows up to women in the feminist sense. I'm doing a feminist series over on the AXPX podcast. I have a bunch of guests lined up.
Plug.
Just Yep, totally. Discussing different aspects of feminism. The first episode is up there from a kind of church Christian perspective. And I'll be moving through to some other perspectives. And then, so the day that I posted that episode, Brad had been thinking about this as far as the horror community in our podcast. So Brad had an idea, and he shot that idea out on Twitter. And Brad, I'm going to turn this over to you to explain what this all is. And then we can go from there.
No, I just noticed on film Twitter, it's sometimes
dumpster
a shitty
fire.
Yeah. It's, you know, the horror community in general is getting more and more toxic. Sadly. And I mean, a lot of it's due to men, us. So like, I don't know, it's trying to do something good and putting a tweet out there, trying to, you know, encourage, ladies to come on board and, you know, be on our show, share the platform with us, have the platform and, you know, talk horror and stuff like that. And it actually grew like pretty large. We had a pretty overwhelming, response. So I'm really excited to have a lot of ladies lined up to talk horror and talk about what they love and how they got into everything and movies. And we're going to create a nice little community here. And that's the end goal. So
BJ, I wanted to ask you, what has your perception been lately? Like, has it been growing more and more kind of just, I guess, aggressive, these, you know, towards women in the horror community? I've seen stuff from, you know, from basically the election of 45 ass fuck into the White House.
Whoa.
45 ass fuck sounds like some 14-year-old pro skateboarder's first AIM handle.
Yes. It does. So I've seen it, things become more toxic, but I wanted to ask you, like, what have you seen from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of nailed it. That's exactly what happened is, you know, once Trump got elected and continued spouting off the way that he does, and the fact that he is, you know, the leader of the free world perpetuates this. All of his terrible, awful ideas are now perpetuated as something to be empowered by. So now all of these really toxic and shitty people are thinking that they don't have to be in silence anymore and they can say whatever they want. And, you know, they feel as if that there are no repercussions for it because Trump's the president. And that has sort of a trickle down effect into, you know, every fandom. For the most part, horror is usually very welcoming, in my experiences, but lately, especially, I think that it's just gotten, really, really problematic. And I hate using that word because it's, you know, such a buzzword at this point, but that's really the only word that can be used to describe it, is that I've noticed that more and more women are being, you know, viciously attacked simply for having an opinion. And it doesn't, I'm not even to say that we're having unpopular opinions, just daring to have an opinion at all is becoming an excuse for some people to just say blatantly misogynist and disgusting shit.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of sparked it was, I can't really remember the context of the tweet, and honestly, I'm really not in the mood to call anybody out, but I saw a lady on film Twitter just say that she liked something, you know, and then somebody responded immediately, oh yeah, what was the first thing that this person did?
Oh, like, my God, the quizzing is
like,
so
what are you talking
tired.
About? Like, and can't it, someone just like something for what it was? Like, they have to know the history of something?
Oh, that happens all the time. The amount of
no,
times
I know,
that people
I know.
Have
and I'm sure you deal with it
to me
a lot.
At conventions, and they'll do it to my face, too. I mean, a lot of this, a lot of the toxicity is, you know, on film Twitter, it's online, because people have, like, this false sense of anonymity when they're using the internet. But people will do that to your face. Like, if you ask a question at a panel, they immediately turn around and it's like, oh, what was the Key Grips cousin's dog's name if you're such a fan? It's like, Jesus, fuck, man, chill out.
Well, yeah, and I know that when recent you've dealt with some shit, just because you're a lady, people automatically assume like there's some ulterior motive to things, like, oh, this person got this thing because of this. And it's like, come on, guys. Like, I mean, it's frustrating, and especially we haven't talked about it yet, is that I said, again, we had an overwhelming, positive response from women, from, contacting me through DM, through Screamcast. But then after about 18 hours, I put the tweet out there, and then I woke up the next morning. And then on Facebook Messenger, on Twitter, I received other people, men, actually commenting.
But what about me? Where's my opportunity?
So these are the things. I'm not going to call out anybody's names because I don't want to start a bunch of shit. But I was asked, are you going to have a men appreciation month? I responded with never.
Because it's a podcast, you can't see, but I'm making the jerk off motion so hard right now.
But I actually wrote them down and I tweeted them out, but I'll say them on the show for people that don't follow us on Twitter or have Twitter. So I was called a pussy, which I thought was hilarious. We are trying to get some. So through cybersex or something, I'm trying to get some pussy from this. This is great. Of course, the men appreciate. I was white knighting, which I thought was humorous. you already have one female. Why do you need more? Mm-hmm. Okay. The only reason you're here, dude, is because of a lady. I understand that was one female, but still, come on.
God, I can, hear the silence of a china shop of the, fragility of this masculinity. Good God.
You're just feeding this shit, which I thought was obviously coming off of kind of what we're dealing with, especially with the administration and everything. Feeding this shit, meaning that giving women a platform to speak their mind.
You were going to say there were snacks involved, and I was going to be really upset that I have not gotten any snacks.
And then I got one DM that just said dumb, which that's all it was dumb. And then this was the funniest one to me, just because it obviously just shows that if you listen to the show, you wouldn't have said this, because obviously this person just saw the tweet and wanted to respond. But the response was, you're a bunch of wimps that probably don't watch porn either.
Because that's basically is what makes someone's status as a man is watching porn.
First off, I mean, we talk about porn on the show frequently. So it's just one of those things where someone sees something, they saw like a retweet and had to respond just because of that.
But here's what I wanted to look at that a little bit, because I've been vocal about being one that doesn't, I'm not really into porn, legit, I'm not, it's not something I seek out, occasionally I may stumble across it and,
I accidentally clicked this link.
But what
I ejaculated. I have no idea why.
What I'm saying is, my personality and everything, I'm not into it. So, how is someone watching porn, how is that a measure of what of masculinity?
I think it stems from
someone's mind.
Well, I think it stems from, the group, and respectfully, obviously, I respect their opinion, and the people that are against it. I think that's what they were trying to throw us into, because they thought we were trying to make this huge feminist standpoint, when honestly, it's just we just want everybody to be equal, but we also want to give the women, the opportunity to stand above us men.
Yeah.
For one. So, hey, whatever. Fuck me, I guess.
All I'm going to say is it's real cute, watching you two both get flustered, because, that's every fucking day of my existence. Well, whether it's some assholes on Twitter, whether it's somebody on the street, whether it's somebody in my email, or like there are people that still comment on this. I wrote a review of the movie Megan is Missing like 6 years ago on Day of the Woman. For those that don't know what this movie is, it is like a fake documentary about like a teenage girl who meets somebody on the internet and then like he tortures her and
oh
like,
my god, I know what that movie is.
Yeah, like at one point he like puts her in like a Salem witch trials looking like rack and like puts like the spider gag in her mouth. Like it's really fucking weird.
I want to just say, no, if I got the movie. Is that the movie, it's like found footage-esque?
Yeah.
And, like, he puts the camera down by her face and he does things, like, behind her back?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. I hate that movie so much.
Yeah, it's a super gross movie. But I wrote about it, and it wasn't necessarily, like, a in defense of kind of thing, but it was, like, I was defending the idea that for some people to get the message, you have to, like, bash them over the head with it. Because they, like, modern audiences are kind of too fucking stupid to pick up on subtext these days. Not all, I'm not saying everybody's stupid, I'm saying, but an overwhelming majority of people are fucking idiots. So, that was what the review said. I wrote this, like, 5-6 years ago. People to this day will comment on that article and just rip me a new asshole about how they hope that I get kidnapped and raped and mouth fucked by a stranger for daring to be on the internet and like, oh, how dare you say that this is a bad movie when blah, 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 blah. I'm like, Jesus, this is 6 years ago. Why are you seeking out a review from 6 years ago? What are you accomplishing here? Nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, every single day it's something new, but yeah, I mean, 2 weeks ago, there was a dude who got butthurt because I kicked him out of a Facebook group that I moderate because he was trying to say that because he has a black wife, he can say the N-word, and I was like, that's not a thing at all. So he got kicked out for using hate speech, and then he went into another Facebook group and was trying to say that the only reason that I got one of my writing gigs is because my name is BJ, so clearly that's what I did for it. And it's like, one, those are the initials for my actual name, so congratulations on looking up the easiest thing about me that you can possibly find. But two, I am well skilled, and if I could get jobs from that, I would be running the world. So fuck you and fuck your face. I work very, very hard for what I've gotten, and people are dummies. And that's the thing. It's always that. Like, people do not think that women can get ahead in life unless they've, like, fucked their way to the top. And that's...
Yeah.
Unless they're giving head.
It's so stupid.
I wasn't going to say... that's what I was referring to. I was trying to, like, you know, I didn't know.
Oh, no. Somebody... Yeah. Yeah, I don't give a shit. Somebody
said I know.
That I blew my way to the top, which hilarious, especially because the people that I work for are all in Los Angeles, and I'm in fucking Cleveland. Yeah, I blew my way to the top. That's why I live in the fucking Midwest,
in the Rust Belt, where rivers catch on fire. We're trying to get some on the show. That's what it is. Somehow there's this cybersex thing we don't know about. Because apparently if we have all these women on, we can get laid a lot.
Apparently, like, you two married men are going to get laid.
Man, yeah. I can't. So, but anyways, go fuck yourselves if you have a problem with it. And I've said it on the show, or said it on the Twitters, and I had no idea that tweet would be so popular. Is I simply said, if you have a problem with this, you can hit the unsubscribe button, and you can unfollow us. It's fine. Yeah. We don't need you.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't want the fucking hate anyway. I don't want people that hate what we're doing listening to the show. You don't deserve it.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me any. Like,
bah.
I don't know. It's really ridiculous, but I think that it's really telling that, you know, you posted kind of not a call to arms, you know, hey, we're opening up this platform. If you want in, let us know. And the response was overwhelming. And I think that's saying something because those are people that aren't satisfied or happy with their place.
Yeah, that's what made me happy and sad that it happened.
Yeah, like, you know, it's awesome that so many people are passionate, but it's really depressing when you think about, like, well, the reason they're so passionate and rabid is because they have no other outlet, because nobody will give them the chance. And yet I can go to a website and read 7 reviews of Glow, and all of them talk about how it's the worst show ever because it doesn't have any real wrestling in it, man. Fuck you. Like, idiots.
Dumb.
I'm real hot about a lot of things today. That's yeah. one
but
of
today's
them.
Been, today especially when we're recording this, has been a clusterfuck of just, like, all that shit just kind of wrapped into one. I had to, like, walk away from being on Twitter and stuff so much today. Just, you know, just because based off that, the tweet that that 45 sent out this morning, you know, like, making fun of a couple reporters, but then, like, all of a sudden saying, oh, and by the way, this one woman got a facelift and she was bleeding profusely from her face. You know, it's like, what the hell?
Well, you know what? He has panty lines, so he has no room to talk.
That picture needs to be posted everywhere. That picture of him playing tennis. There's also another one of him, like, sweating from his ass playing golf, which is fantastic.
But the thing that's so frustrating is that people like 45 ass or whatever you call him, and the same people that think that we're doing something shitty by giving women a platform to speak, it's never going to get through to them.
No, it won't. But.
It's almost a waste. Like, I'm so desensitized at this point that when people say shitty things to me, I either agree with them because then they don't know how to process it. Like, when dudes catcall me, I either say thank you or I give them a compliment back, and then they have no idea what to do because they're not used to it. They're like, wait, what the fuck did you just say? And then, like, they almost get mad at it. But I don't know. I'm too old and too tired to deal with people that don't have any effect on me. Like, you don't think that I deserve this platform to speak? Then don't fucking listen. And if you're going to keep yelling at me, you're yelling into an echo chamber because I'm not going to respond to you. The yeah. only time I ever respond is when, like, you know, dude was on a public forum saying, you know, she blew her way to the top. That, yeah, I'll step in because that's...
Yeah.
Fucking libel, and I'm not going to deal with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well,
so we're going to do this, like, I know you said month, Brad, but I think we're just going to do this as long as whatever.
There's no way you have, it's going to be a month.
It may be the rest of the year. I mean, you have a list of yeah. guests that yeah. we're going to get to, and that's cool.
And we're going to do it, like, too. We're going to do them all, man. We're not going to back down. We're not going to say, oh, this is just a month thing. We got, let's see, like, 12, like, that are confirmed that yeah. we've talked about movies and getting in. And then, of course, there's a bunch of others. Some of the emails I haven't even responded to. That's why I had to send out another tweet saying, hey, just relax. We'll get yeah. it there for sure. You know, this isn't something where we did the initial tweet and it's like, oh, shit, you know. Like, yeah, we can't do this because there's too many. No, we'll get through it. You might have to wait, you know, a few months yeah. because there's so much. But we're going to do it for sure.
And as far as, and then the whole premise is just us doing our show and just we just have
another, I mean, it's not going to be guest. Like well, you know,
we're
crazy
evening
every
shit
show.
Out.
Yeah, we're just going to give them... Give them, be on the show with us to talk, to show that women know their shit, too.
Yeah.
There you
well,
go.
Well, while we're doing this, I know that we haven't done any What's in Your Doorstep segments in a while, and I know that if we did that, we're so behind on, my letterbox is crazy. Do you both want to pick, like, 3 movies that you've seen recently you want to talk about?
Put me on
and then
the
we'll
spot.
close this shit out? What do you guys think?
Man, you put me on the spot.
Holy cow, I almost forgot.
We'll get the door.
Pizza.
What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah.
Is that cool, BJ?
I'm trying to think of 3 recently that, like, really impacted
well,
me.
Well, apparently since Sean was prepared for this, maybe he can go first.
Yeah, you can go first, asshole.
Yeah, we just wanted to talk about,
you know, we're about 20 minutes in. I figured we'd stretch this out.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, fine.
Do your three minutes.
Something. Yeah. Well, I just, you know, nothing too crazy. I speaking of, you know, I mean, I have a little budding female horror fan myself. My daughter has been requesting she'll walk into my room and she'll start picking out movies. Like, Daddy, can I watch this? Can I watch this? She'll grab, like, Clown and Friday the 13th and all this stuff. Because she saw me playing that Friday the 13th game, and she's like, well, I want to watch the movie. And I'm like, I don't know if you're ready for that yet. So
How old is she?
She's 12. So
oh, she's ready.
We're getting close.
She's ready. I'm telling you, she's ready.
So part of my vacation was kind of a staycation where I had a buddy of mine from Iowa come by, Brad, who lets his son Strummer listen to our podcast. And I'm not sure how I feel about that, Brad. Brad Grout.
You're listening right now. Brad G.
And Strummer, you're probably sitting right there with your dad. Strummer, tell your dad that you shouldn't be listening.
No, that's a listener.
No, he needs to listen because, therefore, when he grows up, he'll have maybe some more respect for the ladies. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there you go.
I don't know.
So one of the nights, Strummer wanted to watch a horror movie. And then, of course, my daughter, her ears perked up and she's like, yeah, I want to watch a horror movie. So we picked out Stuart Gordon's Dolls.
Nice.
And we all watched it. And it was just a blast. Watching it with my daughter and then Strummer too, like he's like getting into it because they're both watching the parents because you know this dad and his second wife and their daughter get stuck in front of a scary house and the dad's an asshole, the stepmom's an asshole, and this and so the kids were kind of watching the movie and seeing like whoever was an asshole, they were like, yeah, that person's gonna die. Like they were just kind of like calling who was gonna die and in what order. And Strummer had like these little one-liner quips, which is fantastic. And they would see like the strings on the dolls and they would comment on that they can see the strings. It was a blast. So I watched Stuart Gordon's Dolls through that lens of, you know, these first time little horror fans watching it. So it was a lot of fun. And it's that for like a 12-year-old, like that movie is legit. Like you can watch that with them. But I haven't seen Dolls in years. Like it's been a long time since I've seen that. So I had a blast watching that. The Scream Factory disc.
Nice.
Real quick, I wanted to mention the movie Life. Brad, you had seen it. I watched it. It's been getting a lot of people have been kind of watching Life and getting into it. If you complained about Alien Covenant not being alien-y enough, watch Life. It is probably what you were wanting Alien Covenant to be. I had a lot of fun with it. Solid, simple and solid and effective alien on a spaceship movie. Really well done. And if you've been avoiding it, but you like space horror, I would say definitely check it out because it's a lot of fun. It's really solid. And it's not a Venom prequel.
Dang.
And then a couple things. I watched Catacombs and Cellar Dweller, the Scream Factory double feature. And that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. If you have that double feature, like, I think Cellar Dweller was my favorite because it brings in, like, whatever this girl draws, like, comes to life, this certain monster that she finds in a book, and that there's a lot of fun to be had with that. But then Catacombs was pretty cool because it's like monk horror. It's like the religious horror angle, and it was a lot of fun. And then finally, I wanted to talk really quick with both of you, see if you guys have seen it, but The Black Coat's Daughter, have we talked about that on the show, Brad, yet?
Yeah, I've talked about it a few times.
You've talked about it? Okay, well, I finally watched it. I'm very much mixed on it. I don't know. I feel like I need to watch it again.
Whatever. Show's over.
You're fired.
I liked it, but I think I need to watch it again to get, like, to seal the deal, see if I really liked it or not. It's really well done.
Let me woman-splain to you and tell you how you're wrong.
What? Do it. Do it up. I want to know your opinion of this.
I loved it. I think that it's brilliant. I love it. I don't know if I've talked about it directly with you guys because I was kind of late to the party on it. But again, like, it's been so long since we've been together and my brain is mush. So I'm not sure if I talked about it. No, I thought it was brilliant. I love the pacing of it. I think that it's very, very creepy and I don't know. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, no,
it lived up to the hype for me.
I love.
Yeah, I talked about it a lot when it was called February.
Oh shit! Okay. Yeah. Now I know what we're talking about.
Which is a way better.
It was a while ago. But, yeah, Black Coat's daughter.
I'm a huge fan of it. It's was one of my hit my top 10 that year, and then I've thought about it. I mean, I thought about it for, like, almost, like, seriously, off and on, like, for 2 years before it came out. I got teary-eyed in the movie, of all things to get teary-eyed in that movie.
Huh.
I got teary-eyed at the most, probably one of the most fucked up parts of the movie, because I got a little sad. This is when she's in the bed and she says, "Don't go." I was like, oh my God, that's so sad. But so haunting at the same time. Like I got so sad that about Satan. But anyways, yeah, I love February. I think the score is fantastic. I mean, BJ said that the pacing is just really great. I mean, my only beef with the film, of course I can't say it because it's you know, part of the big movie. So I just wish they would have maybe handled that a little bit differently, and I think it would have been more effective. So if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I thought it was like the craft of it was like really well done. The pacing, I guess it's hard when you don't really know what to expect, and the name change, because I now remember you talking about February, but you know, you hear people, it's always that expectation thing. Like, I had the night to myself, my wife was hanging out with friends, and I was like, all right, we're going to watch Black Coat's Daughter. It's supposed to be like the most scary movie ever. You know, just like, I need to not read anything about these films and just settle in. I want to watch it again. It's stuck with me enough for me to want to watch it again. And, but I would say if you're on the fence and haven't checked it out, it's just a really well done film. And the filmmaker, his next film on, was that like a Netflix exclusive?
Yeah.
What's that called?
All the Pretty Things, something that, something like that. I can't remember.
And I heard that one's even more of a slow burn. And these are so slow.
I am the pretty
filmmaker.
Thing that lives in the house or whatever.
Yeah. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. It's all right.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't hate it. I like.
You know that's Anthony Perkins' son, right?
Oz. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his brother did the music.
Oh, so I didn't know that part. That's sweet.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that's what it was. But yeah, it's Anthony Perkins' son.
Very cool. Well, I've watched more, but I'm not going to talk about them. Those are probably the ones that stuck with me the most that I would recommend. If you haven't checked those out, check them out.
It was funny because you said Catacombs. And I had no idea what you were talking about. Catacombs is Curse 4, dude.
Yeah,
Curse
4.
I don't know why they retitled that shit.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah.
Well, it has nothing to do with Curse, really. I mean, those films.
No, it's just the name. But all right,
it's pretty great.
Yeah, I know
though.
What
like those, that's a pretty. That was a really fun double feature.
That movie's boring as fuck.
Oh, shut up.
Well, actually, the whole Curse series is pretty boring as fuck. So, yeah. I mean, Curse. The first Curse movie is actually fucking directed by the lead actor. He's a really popular actor. I can't think of his name now. But it's really bizarre that he directed that movie. Yeah, the cinematography is okay in the film, but I don't dig that movie at all.
Wow.
Or series. All right.
All right, fine.
So me, I guess. Or BJ,
sure.
you got stuff or what?
I got three, yeah. I got
Go ahead.
So the first thing that I finally checked out, I've been looking for it for a while, but I finally got to see the, I believe it's a Shudder exclusive, You're So Cool, Brewster, the story of Fright Night. For those of you who are new, Fright Night is sort of my alpha and omega in terms of cinematic favorites. My obsession with Christopher Sarandon as Jerry Dandridge is unhealthy, and I should probably have a restraining order put against me. But seeing this doc, I have a lot of feelings about it. One, my nostalgia and my love for this movie just, like, puked all over the screen. But two, the doc's a little self-serving at times. I like watching film docs, especially making ofs about, you know, cult movies or classic movies, where the people are not afraid to admit when some things are a little wonky or when things could have been improved upon. But some of the people working on Fright Night still have this air around them where they think, like, they made Citizen Kane. And in some instances, I think that that's kind of hilarious and probably why I love the movie so much. But in others, it just comes off a little pompous at times. But seeing Amanda Beers and Stephen Jeffries be very, very candid about their experiences is definitely the highlight of the doc. I think it's really interesting. You get the whole backstory behind kind of the shark mouth that Amy has when she turns into the ultimate vampire at the end, and it's really interesting and fascinating stuff when you really divulge into that. So I recommend that one. It's on Shudder. It's like 2.5 hours long, so you gotta sit down for it. But if you like Fright Night at all, or if you like film docs, I do recommend it. It's entertaining. There's a lot of fun little tidbits you'll learn in there. The second thing I watched was I finally caught the women horror anthology, The XX, or XX, I should say. I had seen it previously in a festival screener setting, but it was a lot different being able to see it kind of on a bigger screen at home, like with good sound, and it made a world of difference in my experience. I do still think that it's a mixed bag. I did find myself liking St. Vincent's piece way more than I did when I saw it as like a review screener.
Which one is that?
The dark comedy, the second one.
All right. Yeah.
Cause the first time I saw it, I was like, this doesn't really fit. I don't know if I like this, but rewatching it and seeing it on like a bigger screen and being able to really see kind of the attention to detail in the art design just like really pushed that one over the edge for me. I don't know if I would say that it's my favorite of the installments, but I just had the moment where I was watching it and I was laughing and I went, oh my God, this is way better than I remember it being.
Plus Melanie Lynskey is like adorable.
Oh God, she's so brilliant. I love her. She's fabulous. That's the one I think that just resonates with me most. I really liked Roxanne Benjamin's piece.
Yeah, it's fun.
With kind of like the weird, like native monsters. I like weird monsters. But Kareen Kusama's is just, it's so good. It's so, so good. I'm also a sucker for anything that pays homage to something previous. I'm not going to say what it is because that is kind of the whole point of the film, but, Ivanka's piece, which is the box one, I thought was really interesting. I really liked
it. Oh, shit, that's right. It's a... Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? Prequel? Like, okay, yeah.
So Kareen Kusama's is kind of like what I did when I made Margaret to Carrie. It's similar in that vein where it's not downright aping on something, but it expands the mythos of something that already exists. And I like when people do that. So all in all, I do recommend the XX. I think that it, or just XX, I should say. I do recommend it. I think that anthologies are a lot of fun. If you don't like one segment, you may like another one. And again, more power to giving women the opportunities that they otherwise probably wouldn't have gotten. And that's the sad truth of it all.
Yeah. I think the first one, though, is by far my favorite. That one alone is fucking horrifying, I thought, and so intriguing, too.
The effects on that of just people kind of withering is really impressive. I think she did a really good
job. And I think, she's just a young kid right now, but that Peyton Kennedy who's in it, she's really great. She's in a movie coming out called, I saw it like a fucking year and a half ago, 2 years ago at South By. It's called American Fable. And, she's fucking great. She's so good. She's got a career ahead of her.
That's always good to know. That gives me hope for future, I guess.
Yeah.
But my third one, I briefly mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Not horror, but very much in the realm of my life. For those that don't know, I am currently in production of shooting a feature film called Powerbomb. It is a horror thriller about the world of independent professional wrestling. And I have been waiting for GLOW to come out for months. I was a huge fan of the original 1980s GLOW. I own a lot of them on DVD, which I probably shouldn't, but they were gifted to me. So I have those. I love the documentary. The GLOW documentary is probably my favorite sports documentary ever made. So when they announced that they were doing kind of like a fictionalized retelling of somebody joining that show, I was all in from day one. But what I think is the most fascinating to me, I mean, first of all, I love it. It's glowing approval rating from me. If you don't have to like wrestling to like the show. I think that it's very, very smart. It handles a lot of interesting issues that I think a lot of shows are afraid to tackle, and they do them very, very respectfully. I also think that it's some of the best work Marc Maron's ever done. Because I don't dislike Marc Maron, but like I'm not gonna like, oh, Marc Maron's in this, I'm gonna check it out. Yeah. But I think
he suits that character. He suits that character so much. He's absolutely. So great.
It pulls out just enough of, you know, who he is already. Yeah. And then enough that it gives him something to play with. But yeah I love GLOW. But what I what I noticed, and I've been tweeting about it and Facebooking it a little bit, is that when I first announced Powerbomb and we put out the Indiegogo and did all that, the response that I got from the wrestling community was overwhelming. Everybody wanted it. They're like, yeah, absolutely. I went through our like donations, and over a quarter of them were people that I know from the We Watch Wrestling podcast, like fan groups and whatnot. But 89% of the funds that we raised are from people that I know in the wrestling community, and only 4% of the funds that we raised were from people that I know in kind of like the film world or film Twitter or whatever. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, that's, you know, that's kind of where I'm more, quote unquote, like more well known. Like, that's where I'm more established, is in the film world. And yet that's where I got the least amount of support. And I went back and forth and I was like, okay, well, maybe it's because, you know, everybody has their film project. So if they help one person, then they have to help everybody. I get that. But then I went through some, you know, emails and some, you know, conversations I had had with some of my film Twitter people, and they all said the same thing. They're like, well, I don't like wrestling. I don't think this movie's for me because I don't like wrestling. And then GLOW comes out, and those same people who didn't want to support Powerbomb because it was about wrestling are now, you know, writing on Facebook and Twitter like, oh, this is the best show. This is so much fun. I never thought I would like this. Now I want to watch wrestling. I want to watch this. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now you get it. Like, you didn't want to help or listen or, you know, open the dialogue when it was coming from me, but because Netflix spoon-fed you something and told you it was cool, now suddenly you get it.
Uh-oh.
And it's just been very, it's been very weird for me, because it's like, there are people that, you know, basically shit on our dreams and our, like, hopes to make, like, we're still making it, our crowdfunding campaign was successful, but it was just so funny to me. It was like, you know, a month ago, you, I hate wrestling, I don't like wrestling, why do you want to make it about wrestlers? Why can't it be about, like, a basketball player? Why can't it be about a boxer? Why does it have to be about a professional wrestler? It's fake, it's not interesting to me, it's corny, it's campy. And then Glow comes out and it's like, wrestling's the coolest. And I'm like, no shit, man, welcome to the ride, it's been the coolest. So that's just something, like, my overly analytical film theory brain hasn't been able to really turn that off. But, I mean, if you needed another reason to watch Glow, it made people who hated my idea for a film because it was about a wrestler now suddenly want to watch wrestling. So Glow's a good show. It's changing lives, guys.
Fact. I donated to BJ's campaign. Yes, fact, I fucking hate wrestling. Fact, I will not watch Glow. Fact, I'll be in the first line to watch Powerbomb.
Aww,
you should watch Glow, though, man. You should watch
Glow. Fuck it.
You'll dig it.
No, I'm serious.
You'll dig it.
Because here's the thing,
Brad. I can't stand wrestling.
Here's the thing, Brad. It's not about wrestling. It's about television. It's about television.
Yep. It's about the relationships of the people and about producing a show.
Well, I hardly ever watch television shows, and the last thing I'm probably going to watch is Glow. So,
well, Allison Brie gets naked. Will that get you?
Doesn't matter, dude. I haven't even watched.
I was trying to appeal. To
I've
your
never seen
instincts.
I've never seen like Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones. I've never seen any of that shit.
Oh, that's right. You are the one who's like anti-TV. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah.
I watch Stranger Things. That's it. So, hey, there's that. All right.
Okay.
So how about what movies have you watched, Brad?
What's up, Brad? What's up?
Dude, let me scroll through 100 movies that I've watched since we've recorded our last episode.
I know, so, for you, it's
three.
Ridiculous. Man.
Yeah, a couple.
Three or four, I don't, you know.
No,
I think
you get three.
Four.
Limited to three.
Did I do four? Am I bad?
Yeah, all of you talked about a lot more than I'm just saying.
No, BJ kept it three.
I kept it three.
We should talk about TV show. You got to count all those episodes as one. So, let's see. Good Lord. I should have probably did this before.
Can you think of, like, a few of your favorites? You're like, oh, shit, that was amazing. Like, what?
Well, I did a lot of
stuff people,
you know,
should check out.
Relax. Willow is on summer break, so... we've been watching a lot of stuff, rewatching a lot of stuff, staying up late on the weekends. So a lot of my stuff is rewatches, but new stuff for me is, you know, I tweeted this to Sean or texted this to Sean, and then he shit all over it, so I couldn't share my excitement with him. But for some reason, I missed Kingsman: The Secret Service, and I had. You know, it was one of those things. I like Matthew Vaughn. I like Kick-Ass. I like his little X-Men movie. I love Layer Cake. Stardust was all right. You know, it's just one of those things where I, like, saw a preview and I was like, oh, yeah, I want to see that, and totally forgot about it. And then I saw the sequel was coming out. I was like, all right, I want to check it out finally. So I watched it, and I don't know, man. It's been, you know, I text Sean on a high, like, minutes after I watched it. Because I was watching all these popular movies. I know Sean has seen, like, Edge of Tomorrow and stuff, which I liked Edge of Tomorrow. That shit's called Mate Feed Kill Repeat. Is that the Slipknot album?
Live Die Repeat.
Live Die Repeat. But All You Need Is Kill is the cool title that I was thinking about. Yeah. So anyways, you know, and then he was like, nah. And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Kingsman's okay.
Dude, like, Kingsman is the shit, dude. It's so fucking
good. I didn't like the lead
good.
Actor.
God, he's so fucking good. He's so good. But, I mean, it's a fucking R-rated James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Everything Sam
Jackson
I fucking
annoyed the shit out of me in that one too.
Everything I fucking hate about James Bond, which I do. I'm sorry, guys. I fucking can't stand James Bond movies. I think they're all just blah. We just lost 750 listeners.
You shut up. James Bond flicks, especially with Sean Connery, the best.
Whoa, God, stop it.
Just watch your filthy mouth.
No, Sean.
That's a terrible, terrible Sean Connery.
You're in timeout.
But I can't stand him. And this is everything that I've ever probably think I might have wanted if I ever watched another James Bond movie. But oh man, it's so good. The fucking church sequence with Freebird plan.
No, I like that.
Jesus Christ, dude.
It's probably like, that's my favorite scene of the film.
Fucking brutal as fuck. God, it's so good. I mean, all the characters are really great. I can't wait till they expand the universe, and go into it a little bit deeper. So next up, I watched, here's a movie that I'm going to talk about. I've seen a million times, but I rewatched it with Willow. Eight-Legged Freaks. This movie always
love Eight-Legged Freaks.
This movie always got shit. What?
I'm a fan. I like that movie.
Oh, God, I thought you said I'm not a fan. I was like, okay.
No, Eight-Legged Freaks is fun.
So, Ellery, I don't know his last name. Elkayam, I think, is his last name. So Ellery Elkayam has made some really campy, fun movies. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that there is, like, a Return of the Living Dead 4 and 5.
Rave to the Grave, man.
Yeah, I mean, Rave to the Grave is pretty, not, you know, definitely not the highlight of the two. I like,
No.
Necropolis is basically part five. I like part five a little bit, better because it has those fucking cyborg zombies. And then he did a movie called They Crawl, back in the early, or late 90s. He did the Larger Than Life short about the spider. But anyways, Eight-Legged Freaks. It's got a wonky cast. It's what B movies, like, why B movies were so great, because they were so, like, they were just so charming. They had a lot of heart, and that's what this movie feels like. It feels like a true passion project, with, you know, just a decent cast. It's very, it even has like this, I mean, obviously it's, like Dawn of the Dead. It's got like the Dawn of the Dead vibe. It has, you know, the Them vibe. The CGI is wonky on the spiders here and there, of course, just because it was, you know, the fucking, you know, early 2000s. So everything kind of looked a little goofy. But it's got a lot of heart. You know, if you like, it reminds me of, like, you know, even the kind of the humor, like in Chud 2 and Return of Living Dead 2, kind of that, you know, small town comedy humor that goes on. If you haven't seen it or you saw it back in the day and you're like, give it a rewatch. I think you would like it, especially if you saw it when you were younger. And you were expecting, like, a horror film, and you got this, like, campy comedy. I think you'll definitely enjoy it a second go-around. Or a third, or a fourth, that's for me. I watch that shit all the time. Fuck. And, I guess I should talk about a horror film. Like, a strict horror film. So I watched, this is a rewatch for me, is Mutant, also known as Night Shadows, with Wings Hauser. Anything with Wings Hauser, I'll watch, just because I don't know what that dude is on when he's acting, but he's on something, and I love it, and I want everybody to be on it, because he's on a different fucking, like, level when he is doing his thing. Mutant is Wings Hauser doing his Wings Hauser thing, battling zombies in a small town. I don't know if there's more beauty than that. If you're not familiar with Wings Hauser, watch the movie Vice Squad. You'll want to take a bath, and you'll be very, very upset after you watch that movie. But he's always firing on every fucking cylinder he has in his body. He looks psychotic all the time, and he is a great actor when he plays the hero, just because he's just like he, and plus even when he plays the villain, he's so menacing. But he plays the hero in this, battling zombies in a small town. But it Code Red put it out on Blu-ray, and I tell you, man, even though we make fun of Bill, Bill does some pretty good work when he puts something on Blu-ray. And I like what he does, because he takes the film and he scans it through, and he doesn't do a lot of restoration and touch-up. I like the restoration part. I said this on years back on a lot of the shows, is I wish that companies would put the restored version on the Blu-ray and also just the plain old scan before it was even touched. So that way you could see like the grain and grit and fucking scratches and cigarette burns and everything else. Because sometimes you don't get that with some of these new restorations. It looks just too pretty, which is good too. Not knocking that. But, yeah, Mutant is really great. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Wings Hauser, 100%. Watch Vice Squad.
Awesome.
Cool.
That's pretty much it. You guys ever seen Vice Squad?
I haven't. I feel like that's something Zach's probably seen, but I
own it. I have not watched it yet. It's on the in the pile. I'll be getting to it soon.
You own it? You own a DVD?
Vice Squad? Vice Squad?
You sure you have the right movie? It's only on DVD. It's never made it to Blu-ray. DVD's out of print. So if you have it, you might want to sell it because it's worth a lot of money.
Maybe I don't own it.
You need to watch it.
I thought I owned it.
It's a really fucking fucked up movie.
Am I thinking Doll Squad?
Doll Squad by Ted Michaels. Michaels, yeah.
I do not own Vice Squad. I'm thinking Doll Squad. I apologize.
All right. Watch Vice Squad. It's fucking nasty. BJ, I really want to know what you think about it, because it is very, very, very mean.
Well, I will find it and track it down and let you know.
Yeah, it's a... Right. Like, that movie's... Like, I watch that with people, and they're legitimately upset after they watch it.
Well...
Yeah.
I ain't afraid of a challenge.
No, I think you would like it, but you're also going to be like, man, fuck that movie.
Okay. I like those movies, though.
Yeah, no, I do, too. It's like, god damn it, that movie fucking pissed me off so much, I love it. So,
perfect. I'll track it down. I'll track it down as well. All right, well, that's going to do it for, I guess, this week's episode. We will be coming back once we figure out our shit with our Vinegar Syndrome episode with a special guest. Hopefully next week. I'm going on another excursion. And I'll be back, and we're going to be trying to schedule that. But be patient with us, and definitely we're going to be doing drawings for our $5 patrons. By the time you guys hear this, we probably have done our first drawing. But spread the word and keep your eyes open for that. Of course, all of our links are available over at thescreamcast.com. Our Patreon is over there, and. We'll be doing some late night episodes soon. I don't like June's been a crazy month with vacations and technical difficulties, but we'll be jumping back into that. So if you're a patron and you've been wondering where all your special shit has been, we're about to unload. Watch out.
God, I love when you say load.
All right. We're done. We'll talk to all of you guys next time with a more formal podcast. This has been a fun little, off the cuff.
Clusterfuck.
Yeah, a little bit, especially that opening. I apologize, everybody. I'll work on that. We'll talk to all of you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. The party's just begun.